heard it from, but, so, she was saying that the waitress came and she was taking a selfie with the wolf, and she was, I guess she was with a friend, because she was saying, "What is on my neck? What's on my neck?" And she's like, "Nothing's on your neck," but she could feel like something around her neck and everything, and so she was like, and left. And I guess times she's been here, she's heard giggles, like the little girls in the hall and everything. So yeah, the one medium that Megan was talking about, she went up and she looked down that hall and she said, "There's children down there. I don't like children. I'm not going down there." And she turned around and went the other way.
Does she dislike living children too, or is it children?
I suspect that that's correct. I don't know.
This is the lobby of the Hotel Vernal, a haunted house attraction in the sleepy little town of the same name. You may have heard of a haunted house as in a house full of ghosts. You may have heard of a haunted house as in a building full of people pretending to be ghosts. But have you heard of a haunted house in an actual haunted house? That's right, the Hotel Vernal Haunt is a haunted house turducken. I'm Dory Peacock, and this is The Ghost Box.
It was, when was the hotel built, Jordan?
1947.
Yeah, so in the 40s. So it was built in the 40s, and it was the place to be. We can look at the pictures and everything, but they would hold balls here and fancy dinners, and people would come to Vernal and stay here. It was really nice. And the last time anybody stayed in the hotel itself was in 1991.
But it was the annex buildings also.
Yeah, the annex buildings was 2014. Last time people stayed there. And so, yeah, it's been empty ever since. When we came in to build the haunt, it was like time stood still in every room. Like dust just settled everywhere, but the beds were made. Everything was just as the maids had left it.
No one had, like, come in and cleaned up the linens or anything?
No. No, they were still here. Yeah. There's a lot of linens still downstairs. We'll see when we go on the tour.
This is Tanya. She and her husband Jordan and a few of their friends turned the old hotel into a haunted attraction in 2018. It's a charity event they run every October on the weekends. Tanya and her friend Cheryl invited me to tour the hotel and camp out in it overnight. The building itself is pretty nondescript from the outside. If it wasn't for the line of thrill seekers out front, I might not have recognized it as a mid-century luxury hotel. It's just kind of a brick cube with three doors on the front. One in the middle to the lobby, one to an old restaurant space on one side, and another to a long-closed hair salon on the other side. As Tanya said, in its heyday, the hotel was the center of high society, or what passed for high society in such a small, out-of-the-way town. Every important event in Vernal was held at the hotel. It even housed a discreet gentlemen's club in the basement. I have to admit, the inside is unsettling. The lobby boasts a grand staircase with two sides that branch out from a landing in the middle. The wall of the landing is covered in a multi-paned mirror, and in front of that mirror sits a taxidermy-mounted wolf scowling from its fake rock perch. This is the wolf Tanya mentioned in the beginning of this episode. I would learn later that the haunting of the lobby had started well before the hotel closed.
I've worked at the Lamplighter for before it closed for about 12 years, 11, 12 years, and I was front desk clerk.
This is Karma. She worked in the hotel in its later days, when it was known as the Westin Lamplighter. This interview with her was conducted when the haunt was first being set up in 2018. You'll hear from her throughout the episode and her daughter, who was interviewed at the same time.
When I started my job, you always have to start at the bottom. So I always had to do the night shift, which is the graveyard, which starts at 11 o'clock at night and then runs till 7 in the morning. And the first encounter I ever had with a ghost was on that shift. And see, now I'm already starting to creep out. So if my voice, it was weird. Okay, now in the lobby, the couch, we'd sit on the couch and watch TV during the night. And the TV was against the back wall, and there's a window or a mirror on the beauty shop. There's a beauty shop in there. And it works as a mirror. And when you're sitting there, you can see people walk behind you in the mirror of the window, kind of a reflection, like, you know. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching TV, and I see the reflection of a man standing behind me. And he was well-dressed. He was in nice jeans, pantsuit type thing, a white shirt, button-up shirt, and a sports jacket, older sports jacket from probably the 60s, you know, 50s, 60s era. Mature man. He was probably in his 50s, probably about my age at that time. I'm like, okay, I turn around because I think, oh, there's a guest. You know, what in the world would a guest be coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning? You know, no. Okay, and I turn around and I don't know how to explain how you know it's a ghost. Because how do you explain air? I mean, you breathe it, you can't see it, it's just there it is. And I saw this man standing there. It's eerie. Yeah. Anyway, he acknowledged me. He shook his head at me. And I'm looking at him, and I know it's a ghost, and I'm scared. I didn't talk to him. We kept eye contact for quite a while. He didn't move. He didn't hurt me. He had no harmful intentions whatsoever. He was just watching me. I'm watching him. And finally, I got the courage to say, "You are scaring me." And he acknowledged that. He shook his head, bowed his head a little bit. He acknowledged he knew what I was saying to him. I knew that I could, you know, and I said, "I have to work here. I need my job. And you're scaring me because of what other people had told me, other things that had gone on with them. So, you know, you're kind of on edge anyway, you know. And who expects to see a ghost standing there looking at you? And, you know, I mean, so... Anyway, he acknowledged that he knew that he was scaring me, and I said, "Please, I have to work here. Don't do this to me." And he disappeared. And that was the last time that I ever saw a ghost. I mean, a physical person. And the next night I went back to work, and I sat on the couch.
I was the first one person she came home and told, so...
You gotta work, you know?
Sure.
And, you'd see, like, I don't know how to explain it. Walk down a hall, and, you see the movement out of the corner of your eye, and you see, like, it's almost like an orb, a glimpse. It's mm-hmm. in the cold air. There's always a coldness. Mm-hmm. That lobby was cold. Now... I was doing a 7-to-3 shift, and the main housekeeper came to the front desk, and we have to do what's called a board check to make sure my rooms match what she has on her papers. So at night, we don't double rent a room, you know what I mean? And we were sitting there doing the board check, and we have Christmas trees that are already decorated, and they are, after Christmas, we wrap them up in sheets, old sheets, and put them back in a room upstairs where they're in storage for, you know, the summer. I mean, you don't need a Christmas tree in the summer, so they're wrapped, put away. Anyway, so we're sitting there at the front desk. We're going through the rooms and talking about how many rooms were coming in, and pretty soon Christmas balls are bouncing down the stairs. The Christmas trees are in storage, and they're wrapped in white.
You'd already put them up.
They're up. They're gone. They're put away. This is warm. We're in the middle of, like, July, you know? And there's no way these balls can come off the Christmas tree, go clear down a hall, and then bounce down there in the room. Because you're trying to analyze who's up. You know, you got to put a person to this. Okay, who's up there throwing balls? Did a kid go up the stairs? Is there somebody up there? How did they get into the room with, you know, the tree? And how did they get the balls out from underneath the sheet? And then to take them and, you know, it's, yeah.
So
there's nobody up there. It's just...
When that happened, did you take the balls and take them back
No,
up?
We threw them in the trash.
Okay.
There's a mirror at the top
of the
stairs.
Yeah.
And you'd see them all the time.
I would see them all the time up there.
Yeah, in that mirror.
Cowboy.
Adults? Did you see any children?
No children, just no adults. Children. Male.
Male.
Big male. Male.
I never seen a female, never felt a female there.
They're always wearing jeans. One has a cowboy hat, the others, that only first one I ever saw was a cowboy hat. Not the one she saw, just cowboy.
There's quite a few in there. There's quite a few.
On my visit, I didn't find the mirror as frightening as the wolf, which must be my childhood fear of taxidermy resurfacing. I was scheduled to tour the haunted attraction with Tanya and Cheryl on one of the last tours of the night. In the meantime, as a backstage visitor, I was allowed to chill in the old salon that acted as the cast green room. While there, I met Tately, one of the teenage haunt actors, whose mom actually helped run the operation. Tately told me some of her spooky experiences.
What happened? Okay, so the story with Jillian is that we were upstairs acting, and we kind of just traded off. It was like
The drop bed,
yes. So the drop bed is like a bed with a little slit in it, and we had like a little slide. It was actually the fun room because there was like a party below the bed because we had like flashing lights and food, and you just kind of were secluded. So you just kind of drop down, you would slide down on the slide in the little cubby part, and it was air conditioned and everything. And then sometimes we would like crawl up from out of the bed as like a little monster, and there was times where we acted like we were being dragged down. One of us got really hot, so we just kind of just trade off. I was in the bathroom at the time, and Jillian was just kind of sliding down, acting, and the door just slammed on me. Just slammed out of nowhere. And so I start freaking out, and I start, like, banging on the door. And Jillian, like, starts coming up, and she tries to get the door for me, and she finally opens up the door, and we're just like, yeah, there's no way. We're leaving right now. There's no way. We can't do this. So there's that story.
We couldn't get actors to stay in that room.
Ever.
Like, no. We had one go home crying.
Yeah.
And just couldn't get anybody to stay in there. It was We changed it all up. It's totally different
it's
now.
It's the clown room now. It was downstairs, if you know what was it called again? The radio?
Oh, the radio station.
The radio station room. So basically, we've had like a lot of paranormal people come in. And I was just kind of having fun with this guy. We were kind of looking through some rooms, seeing which ones we could use, and this guy and I unlocked the door. Backstory, this door, you have to, like, unlock it, you have to hit it, like, with your leg, like, you have to kick it in order to get in to the room. So, we were kind of like, okay, cool, this room's really hard to get into. We went into the room, it was just a really, really, really bad feeling from the start. And we were just like, okay, can we, like, go get more people to come in with us? Like, this could be a good room. And so we start heading out. We lock the door, and we shut it tight. And so I just, like, walking back. I was just walking from the thing, and he was locking up the door. And I look back at him, and the door starts opening behind him. And I was like, oh, my. I was in shock. I was like, the door. And he's like, the door what? And then I was like, the door is opening behind you right now. And he's like, looks back, looks at it, screams, starts running. This is like, big, like not a bigger man, like older adult guy.
So I'm like, I start screaming and I start running too. And I'm like, I don't know what to think about this. Next couple of weeks, when Carl the Crusher comes down, the door was closing the whole time. And I'm like, wasn't it opening when that whole thing happened? Like, that's just weird to me. And so I pointed that out to my mom in the car. I'm like, the door was, like, opening when I was with the other guy, but now it's just shutting. So I don't ask me. And after that, they had, like, it was only that one day that we've only had paranormal experiences happen in that room. That was the only day. So
it's very weird. Did you ever check, like, to see if maybe there was an air pressure difference or something?
We never checked if there was an air pressure, but like I said, the door was locked, and it is very hard to get in.
And there's no windows.
There was no windows, and the door was completely shut, so.
Oh, so it was, like, all the way shut.
Yeah, it was, like, all the way shut, locked everything.
It's usually locked.
It's usually locked. You can't get in there. We are not allowed to go in there specifically.
We used to keep stuff in there,
but they kind of kicked us out, so we just... Yeah, we kind of keep it locked. Yeah.
If you're wondering about Carl the Crusher, he is a YouTuber and ghost hunter who did a live stream at the hotel. You can check his video out on YouTube if you're curious, but wait till you're finished listening. I'm not sure which room the drop bed was in, but there's no shortage of activity in the upper floors of the Hotel Vernal. Just ask Karma.
Now, I want to tell you a story about the curtains. Whenever we would come to work, the 7 to 3 shift would do a drive-through, as we had certain areas we needed to park as employees. And the bosses asked us to keep an eye, because we had transients that would sleep under the stairwells and stuff. And we like to get those out, you know, and they had to call the cops, of course, and they'd come and get them and haul them down the road a block or two and, you know, and clean things up and make sure no windows are broken, you know. Because there would be windows broken, they do break in, you know. Anyway, I'd noticed this curtain was always moved in a different direction. One day it'd be open, next day it'd be closed, or it would be, you know. And my brother was a maintenance man there, and he worked there for 25 years. My brother's passed away, but if he was here, he could tell you stuff. But I called him, I says, Roy, we've got somebody up in a room, and you need to come and check it out, you know, please check it out. I knew it was in one of the main areas of the hotel upstairs. And he says, Sis, those doors are locked. There's nobody up there. I just checked them. There's nothing there. I says, well, every time I pull up, the curtains are in a different situation. There's, you know, and he's like, no, sis, it's fine. You're fine. There's nobody up there. And because we're always pulling transients out, always. It was just, it's a magnet. So one day I pull up and I'm doing my check and I look and the curtain's moving. Okay, it's not moved, it's moving. It just opened up like as if somebody was looking out at me. And I'm like, there's somebody in there. Now, I didn't see anybody looking out, but the curtain's moving. So I called my brother up and I said, they're in the room right now. I'm here, they can't come out unless they come past me. You gotta come and get them out, you know. He says, sis, that door's locked. And he comes and he opens the door and there is nobody in there. But this freaks me out. When you walk in that room, it was ice cold. You could see your breath almost cold. It got to the point I'd look at that curtain every day when I'd pull up and it'd be in a different situation. I'm like, okay, whatever. Because I got to the point I wouldn't even, you know, don't even. Okay, so the police actually had an interaction with the ghosts. Okay, so transients would sneak in during the day or at night, and they knew, I don't know how they know, but the rooms aren't used up there. The hotel is so old that the wiring is cloth, the pipes are lead, you know, I mean, the paint's lead, you know, it's, you can't rent them rooms. I mean, it's a hazard, okay? I mean, it's just, you can't do it. So we never used that part, but you would always hear people up there. And so we'd have to call the cops and, you know, and they would come and one would park in the back and then one would park in the front and then they'd do a search and pull them out and take them away. Well, one afternoon night, it was a night shift, there was a party going on up there and there was a lot of banging and people talking. You could hear voices and it was loud. They weren't trying to hide anything. And so they're like, all right, I got to call the cops. You know, we've got transients up there. They're doing their thing again, you know. And so the cops came, and one pulls in the back, and one pulls in the front, and they always go up in pairs. There's always pairs. They never went alone. And sure enough, they're coming to the front desk, and they're, yeah, they're partying up there. You could hear them. I mean, it was banging, and people's voices, and, you know, I mean, they're up there. So the cops went up the stairs, and they saw a glimpse of somebody going into a room, and the door slammed. Now, you know, door slams, you think, okay, there's people in there. And they saw somebody move into that room. Well, the cops went to the door and opened it up, and there was absolutely nobody in there. And it was dead silent, and there was nothing. And there was no way in and no way out of that room except for that door. And they stood there, and they said, well, how do we write this one up?
Do you remember if it was a male or female?
It was a male. Yeah, that was a male. It was male voices. There were no female voices. So,
did they say if anything in the room had been disturbed?
Nope. It was completely just like as if it was... When you walk back into those rooms, it's just like time stopped. I mean, mm-hmm. the timpani lamps, the beds, everything is just pristine. I mean, it's so neat, you know. It's like time stops. Mm-hmm. And those rooms are just neat, awesome to look at. So, yeah, it's nothing was out of place. I was going to tell you about the police. They use the lamplighter now for training, okay? They have keys to get in there, and they use it for their dogs, the police dogs, and they're training also for their rookie cops, okay? And they use the rooms, and they'll have a guy go in and hide in a room. Now, any room he wants. He goes in, he you know, and then they have the dog that goes, okay, we're ready, you know, I'm ready, I'm hid, whatever. And so the dog goes in, and they're going down the ramp where the housekeeping is. And the dog starts whimpering. Now, this is a police dog. It's going to rip your face off if you do it, okay? The hair on the back of the dog's back goes up. He puts his head down, his tail down. He starts whimpering and walking backwards. And I asked the police officer, I said, so what did you do? And the dog did that, because the dog ran back out the door. Okay, this is a police dog. He says, well, when my dog don't want to go somewhere, I don't go with her. So he lets the dog mellow out a little bit, walks him around, and gets his composure again. The poor dog's getting his composure, right? And they go back down the stairs, and then they find the guy, and everything's okay. And the guy that was hit, he says, man, I'm glad you found me. He says, because I don't think I was alone in this room.
Karma didn't specify which rooms experienced paranormal activity, but her story about the police dog reminded me of a similar story I heard from Megan, Tately's mom, who works at the haunt every night.
So one of the first things is my dog, and this isn't really spooky. It just kind of tells me what's going on in the hotel. But I have a dog that comes with me every time that I'm here. And whenever we would get to room 316, she'd be walking with me until we hit the beginning part of room 316, and then she would run, and then she would just finish walking the rest of the hallway. She wouldn't go into that room for a very, very long time. We're not sure what's happened this year, but it seems like the spirits have changed a little bit. I blame it on COVID and think that they're a little bit upset because we went up to remember the main last year. But now she goes into room 316, and it's like she is literally standing guard to whatever's going on in there. So she'll sit in there and just kind of watch as people come and go, and it's like, don't go in there now.
The dog may have calmed down around the spirits of 316, but Tanya's husband Jordan is less sure that the spirits have calmed down. Tately brought up this experience first.
A couple of weeks ago, we were just playing around with some witch sticks, right? Jordan, he was playing around with the witch sticks, and he's like, I'm having a bad feeling, and the witch sticks started going everywhere.
A sidebar here about the witch sticks Taylee's talking about. They're also known as witching sticks, or dowsing rods, or divining rods. In the olden days, they were used to find the best spot for digging a well. Each rod is about 16 inches long and bent into an L shape. The short part of the L is encased in a metal tube. You hold the tubes in your hand so the rods can swing freely back and forth. The proper technique is to hold your arms close to your body to limit the influence of arm movement on the rods. You then walk around, and if the rods cross each other, congratulations, you found groundwater. You may now dig a well. It's unclear how or even if divining rods work in hunting for either water or ghosts, but Jordan's experience with them strikes me as unique. After the haunt shut down, he took us on a tour of the hotel, and I got to ask him about it.
So is this the hallway where the divining rods
happen? Yeah, the dowsing rods.
Yeah, we can go get them if you want. They're downstairs. I have them. You guys can try it out.
I just want to hear that story.
So right here, I started back here, my rods. And it's a story. I mean, I hate doing it, those dowsing rods, because you can't explain it. But so as I was walking past room 316, one of the rods was just like pulling that way and just totally pointing that way. And I always put the rods down a little bit so they're not fudging it. But we can go get those rods. And you can't mess with the rods because they just sit there and you can... It just spins. It's like a sleeve that goes over the rod so you can't manipulate the rod. But anyway, then I got a chilly feeling there. Is walking down the hall, and right where it changes from cement to carpet, those rods just went straight out in the craziest chill. Up my back, just froze me solid. I couldn't move. And I was just telling the guy, you know, I could still talk and stuff. It's like, Joel, just take the rods. Joel. And I just like, it was just crawling up my back. I was like, ah, and I couldn't move. And so he finally just grabbed the rods. And as soon as he did, it's like, oh my gosh, it was a relief. But then the chills would not stop, probably for another, 2 minutes. It just chilly right up my back, up my spine. But what I wasn't expecting is after all of that, the energy, I just felt alive. I just felt good. And it's like I wasn't scared or anything because I was here all by myself. And I was like, that should have scared me. So I'm like, well, guys, I'm going to work. And I just went downstairs one floor and went to work. And I was energetic. It was awesome.
You know what that is?
What is that?
Adrenaline.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
It's unclear why room 316 is a hotbed, no pun intended, for paranormal activity. But there are some theories.
Oh, this is the famous room 316.
Megan was talking about how it was like one of the people that was here with the medium was related to, I forget what it was now, but... yeah, she was a missing person, and
that's right, the unsolved killed. Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the unsolved murder.
Yeah.
Now there was some guys that were just here. They Carl the Crusher, and he got a name in here with his spirit box. He got the name Peter.
Uh-huh.
I
got Peter.
And then Peter, and then they
Sophie
end up
downstairs.
Was it Sophie?
Yeah, and another medium has gotten the name Sophie.
So that's interesting. It's the first time we've heard Peter. And what something about a brother killing a brother. But that's all they got, and they don't know where that went, and that's the first time we heard that one. So.
We all believe that room is haunted. We've had a medium come, and she won't go in that room. She's like, I can't breathe in there. So she thinks somebody was strangled or something.
Yeah. There was a cold case here in Vernal 30 years ago. A woman was murdered, and her name is Rhonda. And when we had a medium come through, she picked up on something. She could smell cigarette smoke, and she felt like she was suffocating. And somebody that was in the group, this woman that was murdered, it was their cousin. And they informed us that she was murdered 30 years ago and that they never figured out who had done it. But Rhonda's husband was a maintenance guy here in the hotel. So she, her husband worked here, and apparently he was a chain smoker, and they did question him, but they could never pin anything on him. And so this specific spirit medium, she said, I will contact the FBI and see if I can help to lead them to the murderer.
There's another haunted room in the hotel, but it's not infamous, and its story isn't as dark.
So Arthur's room, there was a traveling salesman who would stop here, and he would always stay in the same room. And so the staff started to refer to it as Arthur's room. And the same spirit medium, Joanne, came, and she got up to the top of the room, and she sensed whatever it was. And she spoke to her sister, whispered to her sister, and basically said, it doesn't pertain to anybody here in the group. And so they went about and went through other rooms. And the very next day, there was a couple that came up, and they were standing at the top of the stairs right in front of Arthur's room. And Quinn came out because he was dropping something off to the hotel. And hey, did you guys come to the spirit medium last night? And they informed him they had not. And then they went on to tell Quinn about this traveling salesman who used to always stay in this room, and they referred to it, again, as Arthur's room. And apparently he died and had a heart attack in the room, or had a heart attack and died. And so they were literally touching the room and just, you know, getting whatever vibes or whatever it was, but they knew what the room was all about. So that's Arthur's room.
I wasn't able to interview Quinn, so I'm not sure what happened to him in Arthur's room. I do know that the rooms aren't the only active parts of the hotel. The basement sees its fair share of activity.
I would go down the hall to the vault area. There's a vault in the hotel. I don't know if you guys know where it's at. Okay. And I would have to do my drops and stuff and put the money in the vault. And almost weekly, I would get the cold, eerie feeling somebody's there. And I'm like, guys, don't scare me. I got to do this. Please just let me do my job. And you know, you'd see the orb, the light orb in the hall, or you'd feel the cold air or whatever. And I'm like, just let me do my job. And I'd ignore them and, you know, get into the vault. And you're like, oh, Lord, don't shut the door behind me. You know, so that part, I was like, just do what I need to do and get out of there because I don't want the vault shutting on me.
So do you feel like you built a relationship with them?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I promised them that I would never do anything to harm them if they never did anything to harm me. And I know that that covenant is still there.
So, but that's from 316. The other thing is that the only bad experience that I've had here in the hotel where I did not feel safe. 3 in the morning, I was working on some creepy dolls, and Zoe, my dog, and I were downstairs close to the boiler room, and all of a sudden the hair on the back of her hair, the hair on her back just stood straight up, and she crouched down and she started barking something fierce. And like I said, it was 3 in the morning, so we immediately dropped the dolls that we were working on. My daughter was with me. We dropped the dolls and we're like, tap out. So we both just left, and it was kind of like everything just changed. All of a sudden it just felt dark.
My father was part of the motel. He was the maintenance man and cook. He would go downstairs. You would have to go out of the motel, go down the stairs of the basement area, and there was extra rooms. And you would go down the hallway, and there was mattresses, drapes, furniture, like couches, and other things down there. And he would purposely grab drapes or mattresses and lean them against the walls or put them in different areas to just see if it would change areas. And one time he would put a mattress against the wall and said, just go into this room. And we would go down the hallway, all the way down the hallway, and then close the door, lean against the door and listen. And we would hear the mattress just glide across the wall and cross the room against the carpet. And we would open the door and no one's there, and the mattress is all crossed the hallway against the other door.
Wow.
and
or be leaning the opposite direction. Yeah.
It was weird.
Did it scare you?
It made me more curious. I wanted to play more. I wanted to move things around and go into another room and just listen to the walls or anything. I enjoyed it way too much, probably.
When our little after-hours tour found its way through the basement, we had our own spooky experience.
What was that noise?
I don't know. That mummy just started to talk as I walked by.
Mummy has never done anything before. That's weird.
You've never heard it do that?
No. It's not even plugged in.
Oh, dear.
It's not plugged in.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, no, this is just more storage. It's not plugged in. Go look at it. There's no source for power on that thing. Are you guys serious? That dummy said something?
Yeah, I did. I heard it.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I'm stuck.
Don't be scaring me like this, man.
Did
you
touch
it? No. What? Okay. I feel like you must have touched it.
No power going to that dummy. There's a power to the...
Unless somebody moved it. Oh, was it that iPod?
Oh, you know what? Look, they did.
Someone plugged it in?
Someone plugged it in.
Oh, okay. Thank goodness.
So why didn't it do it all day long?
But there's no power in it right now because this juices it. This juices all this.
It's still not doing it, even when Cheryl's touching it.
It didn't do it when we came through.
It did it after we had it all.
Oh, Stu!
Okay.
Alright, well.
That's an unexplained.
If I was a ghost, that's the exact kind of thing I would do, so. Even an inexplicably active mummy didn't deter our little group from deciding to set up camp in the basement. We debated between the laundry room and one of the upper floors. I voted laundry room since it seemed the warmest and was likely to have the least asbestos. Everyone else had similar thoughts, and we pitched our cots and sleeping bags between the ancient washers and the shelves of linens. I'm just glad that at the time I hadn't heard this clip.
Yeah. The laundry area.
Laundry area.
Yep.
That was the most active to me, because that's where I usually saw them.
Yeah.
So.
And that's kind of where the vault is.
Yeah.
In that area. Yeah.
They love that area.
I don't know, I saw them everywhere, so it wasn't...
That was my area. Yeah. I mostly saw them at.
Yeah.
For me, that night passed uneventfully. But then again, I've been known to sleep through a cat trying to stomp on me, so who knows if I'd even notice the touch of a ghost. Thank goodness I didn't need to walk up the stairs through the dark hallways to use the bathroom in the night. Even with that eerie atmosphere, the people who work at the hotel, both now and in the past, seem content with their ghostly companions.
They were friendly. They weren't mean.
Yeah.
They never hurt you. They didn't, you know. There's only been one time that a ghost was violent. And a pan flew off a shelf and went across the room and almost hit somebody. And you go ghost. Because this person was not a nice person.
Ghost was looking out for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've made a covenant with them, and I promised, and they've done well with me. I can go in any room in that hotel, and I'm safe. I'm good. But I know they're there, and they're welcome there. That's their home. Okay? They know they're dead. They know. I've told them that. And they choose to stay.
We don't know why they're there, why they're staying.
And I can't ask them why. You know, I don't... I mean, the only one I've ever seen, and I asked him not to bug me, not to scare me, so he did. I mean, so he's kept his promise, and I kept mine.
We were walking through with Joanne, and she picks up on things, and she informed us about candy and pies. And she said, I'm picking up something about candy that's supposed to be hidden, or, you know, candy that wasn't supposed to be touched, and pies that there's a lot of pride in. And she said, and this person is the longest living person here in Vernal. Well, my grandma passed away when she was 103 years old, and she was the longest living resident. Other people have been older, but my grandma never left Vernal. So she informed me that, again, that my grandma was very proud of me and everything that I had done. But that was huge to me. My grandma used to do a lot of charity events here in the hotel. And so every time I've ever come in, it's like, yep, I got this connection with grandma. So that one's always been really cool to me. So,
do you feel that one yourself?
Every time I come in. I know 100% that she's proud of what we've done as a committee. She's proud of what we've done for Vernal. She was a huge advocate for Vernal and any kind of charity event. She used to do the Lions Club and Rotary Club and always volunteering. And so I know that she's very, very proud of what we've done here.
So there are some good spirits here. And it's a very good, safe environment.
I may not be the best medium, but I have to agree that whatever abides in the walls of the Hotel Vernal doesn't seem malicious. The hotel doesn't even seem to have a very dark history. I looked into the disappearance of Rhonda Karen, the woman who went missing from her home in Vernal in 1987. I couldn't find anything linking her disappearance to the hotel. But like theaters, perhaps something about a hotel draws in the spirits of the lost. Maybe it's the no vacancy sign. For my part, I was more scared of the teenage ghouls in makeup and costumes than the unseen dead. I'm not proud to admit this, but even though I made it through a night in a sleeping bag on the floor of a haunted hotel, I could not make it through one tour of the haunted attraction. I bailed after three rooms of jump scares and had to be escorted through the backstage stairwell. As I waited in shame for the rest of the group to finish the tour, I met a patron with a big fluffy dog. And you know what? I petted that dog. Thank you for listening. The Ghost Box is written, hosted, produced, and all the stuff by me, Dory Peacock, with mixing and scoring by Parker B. Abeg, who also composed our nifty theme tune. Find him on all social medias at Parker B. Abeg. Special thanks to our furry four-legged production assistant, George Moosington Adams Esquire, because of course my kitty cat is a lawyer. Yes, he is. With special help from Emeritus Furry Production Assistants, Mike and Richard Hill. Actual special thanks to Tanya and Jordan Merrill, who run the Vernal Hotel Haunt and who furnished all of the interviews and introductions for this episode. And thanks to Cheryl and Mike Worsley for inviting me along on this expedition and providing comic relief during the environmental recordings. You can hear Cheryl and Mike's voices in the background of some of these clips. Special thanks to them and their teenage daughter, who was a lot braver than I was. Special thanks to Colin for letting me record in his house and overall being the best haunted house companion that a girl could ask for. This week we have a Patreon shout out to Feller, who just joined us at our highest Patreon tier. Shoutouts, in case I forgot last time, to Kim Clear and Elliot Lee, who also became patrons recently. You guys are the real rock stars. If you're wondering what these patrons are and how you can become one, well, head over to patreon.com. Patreon is a website that allows you to make small monthly donations to independent little creators like yours truly. So if you would like to support the goings-on over here at the Ghost Box, if you would like to toss a coin in the box, as they say, head over to patreon.com/theghostbox, or just search The Ghost Box on patreon.com and sign up for the donation level that suits your needs. You'll have access to bonus material, gifts, monthly AMAs, and so much more. Okay, like not that much more, but like a little bit more. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can email us at theghostboxpod@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on all the social medias at theghostboxpod. We now also finally have a Facebook page where you can message us. However you decide to contact us, leave a short overview of your story, and if we think it sounds right for the podcast, we will get back to you. Lastly, if you liked this episode, please tell a friend. Tweet about it, Facebook about it, shout about it to the skies, whatever you feel. Or you can rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever podcatcher you use. It helps people find the show. And if you didn't like it, then you can drive 3 hours, break into a haunted building, and sleep with the deadly clowns. Thanks again for listening. Stay spooky, everybody. There's a plane. There's a plane in the background. It's a loud-ass plane. All right, Parker, sorry about the plane. Another plane. Not a plane of existence, just a plane rumbling through the sky. Rumbling through the sky. Is it far enough away yet to record the credits? If you hear any unearthly howls on this recording, those aren't ghosts. That's just the neighbor's husky.
We're thinking selfies with Eva Quiles. Here, pucker up and I'll take a picture with you for of you. Oh, wait, no, I was going to do it with your phone.
Oh, with my phone, yes, for the gram.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll even take my headphones off.
Oh! Yikes. Is that tape supposed to be up there?
What, Gina?
Oh, up there?
It was holding the balloon.
Oh, here's the balloon. Oh. I recorded that.
You recorded me just sitting there? Yeah. Oh. Did you get one still image?
Yeah,
okay.
Still,
okay.
I got two stills of images.
Recorded me like,
the video and started recording.
Fine, you done? You good? You got it?
Oh, the monkey hands.
That's pretty freaky.
That is cool.
The only thing is, we'd let you take pictures, but don't post them on social media.
Oh. No problem there.
Oh, okay.